If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. This is very unusual among parables in the New Testament because usually you have to work your way through the parable, and then sometimes there might be another section at the end of the parable or maybe later in the chapter or even in the next chapter that explains what that parable was all about. Sometimes it is left to you to figure out, well, what's he talking about here? And generally those things are pretty obvious, although sometimes we might come up with dual meanings for something. But here we have something very unusual where Jesus on the front end of the parable explains to them the purpose. The purpose of this parable, as we look at it, is so that you should always pray and never give up. And I think we've had a great example of that in our culture just in the last couple weeks as we've watched, a lot of us, the Olympics. And there are so many great stories in the Olympics of not giving up. So many great stories of even when you realize that the medal is out of reach, even when you realize you're not going to win first, second, or even third, that you just want to finish. And a lot of us, if you're online, you've had videos shared with you over the last couple weeks of just really great stories. I saw one the other day of two runners who were running a race, and they kind of got their feet tangled, and they both fell. And one of them was just having trouble getting up, and the other runner has this moment of decision to make of, do I try my best to catch up with the people who are still really in the race, or do I help my fellow runner here that's down on the ground? And she decided, I'm going to help my fellow runner here that's down on the ground. And so she helped her up, and the two of them, nowhere near the rest of the competitors, did the final laps around the track. And this the girl who had fallen struggled more and more and more throughout. And come to find out later, she did those last four or five laps of this race on a torn ACL. But she had this other runner, and they talked to them later. They had never met before. A lot of these world-class runners will run into each other at different races around the world, but they had never met each other before, but they are now forever tied together because they weren't going to give up. And I think for a lot of us, that is a struggle that we have, is giving up. What's worth the fight and what's not? What's worth the effort and what's not? And we will start to classify things in that way, almost as if you have an old car. And you have that old car and you think, okay, that car is paid for, but that car is now starting to cost me more money than it used to. And I've got to replace this piece of it and this piece of it and have this thing fixed and this thing fixed. And you start to weigh out, when is it worth continuing to fix and when is it worth just giving up? And a lot of folks look at things in life that way, whether it's church or family, or even life itself, of is it worth continuing on, or should I just give up? And Jesus knows that his disciples are going to be facing some difficulties very soon. They're going to be facing hardships in life, and he wants to encourage them along the way that don't stop praying, don't give up. And so he tells them this story. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. There was a judge, and the way this judge is described is that he neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Now, we never run into people like this nowadays, do we? They don't fear God, don't care what people think. Is this not daily life for us? I mean, we run into a lot of people that clearly don't fear God. We run into a lot of people that don't care at all what other folks think about them or about what's important or about anything else. And as this woman runs into a person like that, it's real easy for her or for us in that kind of situation to use that as an excuse. I'm dealing with someone who does not care about God and his standards and his ethics and his morality, and they don't care about anybody else other than themselves. And so because of that, this is all out of my control. There's nothing I can do. I can't control the way I react. I can't control what they're doing. I will never win in this situation, so I'll just give up. This widow had all of the chips were stacked against her. She had every reason in the world to not think these things would turn out well, but we find a different story of this widow. In verse 3, it says, there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him, this judge who doesn't fear God, doesn't care about others, kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. we have the fearing God and not fearing God difference between the two. And now we have the socioeconomic, where they fall in the social status of the culture difference between the two. Because we have a judge, who most of us would think is kind of a big deal, and we have a widow, who in this culture would seem like in a much smaller, lower place in life. And Jesus has a tendency, when you find people that you would start to classify in one way or the other, to flip those things upside down. It says, as this judge is being asked for justice again and again, that for some time he refused. Sometime. And I immediately think, as I want detail to the story, well, how long? How long did he refuse to give her the justice she was looking for? Are we talking about a few days? Talking about a couple weeks? Are we talking about months? Are we talking about years? And the answer is we don't know. We don't know how long. And I think there's a good reason for that, that it wasn't she came to him and for 2 weeks constantly, because who knows what the time is for us? How long does it take before we begin to struggle with our motivation? How long does it take before we begin to struggle with the desire to keep on keeping on? How long is it for us? And for each of us, I think there's probably a different answer to that question. I wondered, these two ladies that were running the race, what if it were the marathon and we're in mile 3? How different would that story have gone then? What if it were, and I saw a story early on in the Olympics, there was a gymnast who hurt his leg and the team really needed him to do one more vault to be able to get through, and he did it and he landed on that leg and you could tell it was painful, but he did it. And I thought, well, what if there were 4 more events he had to do? And again, sometimes we will classify things based on all of that. In this story, we have that there is some time. And maybe we should start viewing it a little more that way. What's some time that you had to go through it? We had lunch at a Mexican food restaurant with some friends while we were back in Arkansas. Very excited to have Mexican food. I've not found the right place yet here. We're having lunch with this lady, and her mother has been dealing with cancer. And she is on what she calls the last chemo she's going to try. And I said, how long has she been doing chemo? And it was pretty much nonstop for years. Just years and years of this chemotherapy. Excuse me. And I thought to myself, how long? You know, for each of us, we would have some point where we'd feel like if it's not better at this point, then that's the point where I give up. For God, He doesn't want us to give up on Him. He doesn't want us to give up on the justice we're seeking, because sometimes we're seeking it in the wrong places and in the wrong ways. And in this story, we just find out that for some time she keeps going to this judge. And then he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back and attack me. She's a bother. Now, let me explain to you, before we go any further, the moral of the story, and you'll remember back in verse 1, and maybe this is why Jesus did the way he did, is that we don't give up and that we continue praying. The moral of the story is not that we be a bother. And I know we can do that, and we tend to do that sometimes to really bother folks. Now, there's a fine line there. And part of our needing to not give up is knowing that we need to have this kind of persistence that the widow has. We need to be willing to not give up on people. We need to be willing to not give up on situations. And this widow continues to ask, continues to speak to this judge, continues past a point where a lot of us would just say, this guy's never going to do it. He doesn't understand what it is to live the life that I'm living. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about people. There's never going to be a good result that comes of this. And instead, she keeps on trying, and finally the judge gives in. In verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Now, why do we have this story and it refers to him as an unjust judge? Because there is a big difference between the just and the unjust. Now, I struggled as I was watching the Olympics over the last couple weeks with the sports where they judge them. I like the track and field because it's either you're fast or you're not. I like basketball because it's either you have more points or less points. The ones where it's, we were watching diving last night, and I thought as these guys are flipping and spinning and everything and we're gauging the splash and all of that stuff, how do you decide this stuff? And you really have to count on the fact that the people watching are just. You really have to count on the fact that they're not biased in any way. And when we have this unjust judge referred to throughout this parable, we have now a contrast between him and God. Because God is the just judge. God is the one who knows all the facts and is going to make the right decision every time. And so even though with this judge it took a lot of bothering and a lot of persistence and all of this with God, we know that he is going to be there to give us the justice that we are looking for. And even more than that, he's going to be there to give us the grace that we don't deserve. Because the judge that we serve is so much better than this unjust judge. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now we're looking for justice, and then the question comes in, do we really want justice, or do we want a whole lot of mercy? So I think for a lot of us, when we start thinking about justice, it sounds really good when it's applied to someone else, but what about when it's applied to me? I thought to myself while we were on our trip last week, I came up to an intersection that I would come to every morning when I would take my kids to school. And at this intersection, whoever designed it years before didn't understand that these two roads and the third road were going to start to be really busy somewhere along the course of time, and the intersection wasn't really planned very well. And so what you had was there was a main street that went through, it was actually called Main Street, and on one side of it coming in, there was a road, and the other side coming in, it was a road, and there were about 300 yards between those two roads. And so if you were driving down Main Street, you had a light about 300 yards and another light. If you're on one of those cross streets, you're just trying to get onto Main Street. And what I started to learn in the mornings for school was when the light turned green, you don't go yet. Because somebody would have just run the first light on yellow, which means there's no way you're going to make it through the second light, but they kept going because they had sped up for the yellow. And so about twice a week, as I would take my kids to school, there would be something speed right in front of me on my green light. And I would think if I had actually gone when it turned green, we'd all be dead right now. And I would get really frustrated. And I would always say to my wife, I want to go to the police department and just say, would you put an officer out here and watch and see how many times a week this happens? And then I thought to myself, but if I do that, I've got to make sure I'm doing everything right too. Because what if I catch the yellow and everybody's late for school and we're coming from the other intersection that's less likely to kill anybody, but still you've got that yellow light there. What if the morning that he actually came out there is the morning that I ran through that yellow a little too late and now he's after me? Boy, that backfired, didn't it? We live life in that way a lot, don't we? Where we expect justice for others, but when it comes to us, let's have a merciful God there. And so he asks this question at the end, when he comes, will he find faith? And I pray that he will, but sometimes I worry, will he find faith or will he just find a lot of us looking around hoping for justice for somebody else? And this will he find faith question, I think, leads us into the second parable. And I love who he's, in the first parable, he talks about what the parable is going to be about. The second parable, he makes it clear who it is he is talking to. And who he is talking to makes me a little bit uncomfortable. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Now, I want you to really notice the "and" there. We a lot of times forget the conjunctions in there. I really want you to notice the "and." Because there is nothing wrong with the first part of this sentence. Those who are confident in their own righteousness. God shows us what is righteous. God shows us what is good, what is godly, so that we can replicate that. And he does not want us to live in constant fear of whether we're doing that well enough. That is no way to live. But the problem is, so many folks, when they are doing that well enough, really like to step back and think about how well they're doing it. I watched in the Olympics Usain Bolt from Jamaica, who has this way of running faster than everybody else and has for a long time. And he will start off in a relay where he is right with people, and then there's distance between him and them. And I thought, what would I be like if I were the fastest man in the world? And I guarantee you one thing, you would know I was the fastest man in the world. I'd wear a shirt. I would make sure, you know, there would be world's fastest man on my Facebook page. You would know that I was the world's fastest man. A lot of folks live out their righteousness in that way. Do you know how godly I am? Do you know how right I am? Do you know how much of the Bible I know better? And that's where it starts to begin to shift a little bit. And they begin to look down at those around them who are not doing it as well. And I think we have a tendency as people sometimes to classify us and others, and we like to know that there is someone who is just slightly lower than us because it makes us feel a little better about ourselves. This is who Jesus is talking to as he begins this parable. Two men went up from the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now we have a hero and a villain to the story. Every good story has that, doesn't it? A Pharisee and a tax collector go up to pray. And if I were to ask the religious leaders of this time or us if we didn't know the story or if we didn't understand Pharisees the way we do, maybe we should reword this a little bit. Two men went up to pray, an elder and a tax collector. Two men went up to pray, a preacher and a thief. It does. Two men went up to pray, someone who is a regular churchgoer and someone who is walking the path over to Walmart right now while we're in here doing this. And I were to ask you, who's going to be the hero of this story in the terms of God? You immediately start leaning towards the religious leader kind of way. Now, unless you've had very negative experiences with church, you might start to lean the other way. But Jesus throws these two out there, and I think to kind of set the hook a little bit. Okay, who do you think is going to be the good one here? The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give the tenth of all I get. I was thinking about this slide coming when Freddie was doing our prayers for the communion a little while ago. And I thought to myself, or while Roy was doing our opening prayer, what would it be like if that were the prayer this morning? If Roy got up before us and had a couple prayer requests and then began to pray, and Roy said, I thank you that I am not like all these other people here. I thank you that, these folks are fortunate enough to be near me to learn from my example. I thank you that I'm doing all these things right, and hopefully they can learn from that. And none of us would say those things out loud because they sound crazy. But man, an awful lot of people live that way. I've got it all figured out, and if everybody else could just do it the way I do it, then everything would be fine. This is what this church should be doing, and if everybody else could just understand that, then everything would be fine. And the next step that we might go sometimes is, this is the only way that it can happen. This is the only way to move forward. This is the only way to be godly. This is the only... And we start to convince ourselves that we are somehow so far above everyone else who has just not yet figured it out. And if they were around us more, they would have figured it out by now. This is what the Pharisee is thinking. This is what the Pharisee is saying within his prayer. And he immediately starts thinking in terms of me and other people. And when we think of those terms, it never leads to good places. There's what I do, and there's the lesser things that everybody else does. There are the very small mistakes that I make from time to time, and the giant things that others fall into. And we start to see a very different view of who the hero and the villain might be, because the tax collector stood at a distance, doesn't even want to get too close. It's humility involved there. He stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. Didn't feel worthy of that. But beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this falls right into the trap of the Pharisees' thinking, because how many times do they talk about, why does your master eat with tax collectors, sinners? Why? A sinner. We're all sinners. Now, I hope we don't revel in that, and I hope we don't say, well, we're all sinners, so what's the point? Or take the angle of the folks in Romans 6, where Paul rhetorically says, should we all just continue in sin so grace may abound? And he says, no. We shouldn't be excited about being sinners, but at the same time, we have to acknowledge the fact that none of us is doing this perfectly all the time. And if you are, take the microphone and tell us how, because I don't do it perfectly all the time. The tax collector gets it, and maybe it's because he can't escape it. Sometimes when you're in the midst of that kind of life, it's hard to not see what's going on around you. And the Pharisees are beginning to believe that they are better. And so we see this dividing line between the two. I tell you, in verse 14, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. We, like this tax collector, need perspective. We need the two things that we have seen in these parables this morning, which is persistence and perspective. And the persistence, if we don't have the perspective, kind of turns out being the bothering, like we talked about earlier. Because we have persistence that heads in the wrong direction, persistence going toward the wrong goal. But if we have a persistence and the perspective of where we are, who we are, what we struggle with, the fact that we are not better than the people around us, then that persistence can lead us somewhere good. And this morning, I like to think we have that, and at the same time, I know better sometimes, because there are a lot of things that we struggle with when it comes to perspective. There are a lot of things that we struggle with when it comes to where we fall. And sometimes, by the way, it's not the too highly. Maybe sometimes we're thinking too lowly of ourselves. We are loved creations of God, made in His image. It's kind of a big deal. We should understand that we're loved by God, not put ourselves down too much, but at the same time, we have to realize that so is our fellow man. So are the folks that we made shoes for the other night. So are the people that are walking through to Walmart right now. So are everyone that we encounter throughout the rest of the day. They are loved creations of God that some just don't know Him yet. And for some of them, they don't know Him as a result of us looking a little too much like the Pharisee on occasion. We've got to have perspective about who we are, and we have to be persistent in what we do. And that means persistence in our prayer and not giving up, the way that Jesus mentioned. It also means persistence in understanding that even though we may live in a world that seems described like that unjust judge, doesn't fear God, doesn't care about others, we've got to persistently show His love to the world around us. And this morning, if your encounter with Christians has not been like that, you're probably not alone, and we need to do better. This morning, if you would like to know God, you'd like to be baptized into Him, we would love to do that. Or this morning, if you've spent too much time looking at the faults of the people around you instead of being introspective towards yourself, and there are things that you need help with, we would love to pray for you. If there's anything we can do in any way to help you, please come while we stand and sing.